It's Monday, 10th of February, 2020. We're in Ross-on-Wye, Hildersley in Ross-on-Wye in Herefordshire. My name is Billy Hunter, and I'm interviewing my father, Arthur Donald Hunter. And the purpose of the recording is it's an oral history interview for the IET archives, for the IET 150th anniversary celebrations, because my father was a member of the IE staff for many years. So, Dad, if you can tell me your full name, please.
Arthur Donald Hunter.
And your date of birth?
25th of November, 1926.
And what was your position within the IE?
Well, I started as a junior clerk, and I ended up as director of the finance department.
Wow. So that was quite a transition.
Yeah, it was a long while.
It was a long while. How old were you when you went in as the filing clerk?
Not quite 17.
Right.
In 1943.
And then how old were you when you retired?
61 and a half.
Yeah.
But then I did a couple of years consultancy.
Yeah.
Sorting out some things that needed bringing up to date.
Yeah, yeah. So can you tell me a little bit about your childhood, where you were born and brought up?
Well, I was born in Ascot, Berkshire, but brought up in Uxbridge, which is now the borough of Hillingdon.
Yeah.
And I went to the normal infant and junior school, and then I passed the 11 plus.
Yeah.
And I went to Bishop's Hall Grammar School in 1930. Is it on there?
No, I don't think so. But it would have been, well, about 37, would it have been?
Yeah, I think 37.
Yeah.
No, it must have been 36.
36.
36.
Yeah.
Right.
And was that unusual? Were you unusual in your school for passing the 11 plus?
Yeah, you were definitely in the minority.
Yeah.
Most people just went to what was then called a senior school. And they would normally leave school at 14.
Yeah.
But some went on to a technical college.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I left school in 1943.
Yeah. So you were 16. Were you then?
Yes. Yeah. 16 rising 17.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd done your, I don't know what they were, they weren't GCSEs then, were they? They were school certificates or?
Yes, a school certificate with exemption from matriculation.
Yeah.
I think was the full title.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you went to the IE at that point.
Yes.
Yeah. So how did that happen?
Well, we had a physics teacher called Mr. Minette, and his daughter, Mrs. Scaresbrook, was secretary to one of the assistant secretaries at the IE.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And on her recommendation, they were looking for 16, 17-year-olds that had got their school certificates and or, in some cases, shorthand typing. And I put my, she was recruiting, and I put my name forward. And got called for interview. I was interviewed by an assistant secretary called Mr. Rayner.
And then, so you went up into London to Savoy Place to the interview.
Yes, yes. And my father came with me. Because I'd never been to London before.
Well, even though you lived, I mean, to us, Uxbridge now is part of London, isn't it? Can you remember much about the interview?
It was very friendly. And welcoming. They did make me feel very much at home. And very keen to get the job.
Great, great. So that was, they put you at ease then. They put you at ease. So were there a few people from your school must have gone to the IEE to work then, did they?
Yes. There was one fellow in my year called Tom Williams, who was also at Bishop's Hall and lived less than a quarter of a mile away from where I did. In Uxbridge.
So when you started working there, how did you travel up to town then?
On the Metropolitan line. From Uxbridge, changing at Baker Street, and then going on to what was then called Charing Cross. And it's now called the Embankment.
So when you started and you started as a filing clerk then, can you remember much
about... No, I just started a junior clerk.
Just a junior clerk,
The principle then was that you did 2 or 3 months in each department of the IE. And then at the end of about a year, you then discussed with the assistant secretaries where you would like to work, which department, and where they thought you were most suitable for. And we agreed that I would go into the subscription department, which was part of the accounts department.
Because you had a bit of a flair for money and figures, was it?
That was the main reason. And anyway, I accepted that, and things really progressed from there.
So what happened next?
Well, that continued for quite a few years until 1952. And I then decided that I really really needed to get a qualification so I could progress beyond being just a clerk, an accounts clerk. And because really I was at the end, I was as far as I could reasonably expect to get. So I did my, in 52, I did my A-levels because I'd left with just the ordinary school certificate. At the Regent Street Polytechnic, which I passed in economics and economic history and I can't remember what else. And then I enrolled for a Regent Street Poly again. To do a degree in economics, which would have been an external degree. And however, I quickly became aware that I was out of my depth there, because it turned out that everybody else in the class was having to resit a subject, and they had been. They'd been students at the London School of Economics. And it was from them that I learned that they did, you could do the internal degree in the evening. At the LSE. And so I went along and was interviewed and accepted. And then... I did the internal degree. It took 5 years. That was the amount of time allotted. Anyway, I passed that. So I ended up with a BSc in economics. And by that time... Ken Brasher, who had been the chief executive, retired, and his place was taken by George Gainsborough. And he was relatively new and was wanting very much to have better budgetary control and what have you. So... the chap who'd been the chief accountant was moved sideways, as it were, to look after the house arrangements, and I was appointed to the finance department as the accountant. And... with specific responsibilities for the budget and monitoring the various departments and their projects against a predetermined budget.
So with the you know, you're just going back to when you said you did your A levels and then your undergraduate degree. Did the IE support you in doing those?
not the first year, but when it was obvious that I was treating it very seriously, they actually paid. I actually got a scholarship from the London Council. To pay for the to pay for the tuition. But the IE paid for my textbooks and so gave me unlimited support.
That was great, wasn't it? That they saw and, you had potential.
If there was if there was something I specifically really needed to go to that was in the afternoon, which wasn't very often, but they encouraged me to go and gave me a leave of absence to attend. Now, they were very supportive, the IE.
Just turn it back on again. So, we've got you, you've got your... got your degree and you've started working in the accounts department.
Yes, well, as the
as the accountant.
Which meant that I ran the finance committee, which was always one of the sort of senior committees,
yeah.
particularly as we were embarking on a number of commercial projects,
yeah.
which George Gainsborough was very interested in
yeah.
doing.
Yeah.
We had the full support of the finance department and finance committee, which had some very senior members of that committee, and quite a few of whom were presidents or had been presidents. Cam Lucas, Albert Mumford, Eric Booth, Jimmy Redman, Frank Toombs, and John Banks, for example.
I remember some of those names. I can remember you mentioning them, you know. And
yeah.
So they were the chairs of the finance. They were the chairs of the finance committee, were they? Is that what you said? Sorry. Yeah.
Yes, I think for the most part they were the chairman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were also president. Presidents at one point. Everyone on the finance committee, including me, was on Christian name terms. In fact, the IE had always been comparatively informal.
Yes.
And which always made you feel as if you were at home and in a friendly environment. Which was most helpful.
Do you think that was that one of the reasons why you stayed there? I mean, you were there all your working life, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think after I got my degree, if I hadn't been moved into being the accountant, I would have had to look for somewhere else.
Yeah.
I didn't want strictly an accountancy thing. It needed to be more tied up with the budgeting and controlling the financial side of our commercial activities.
So there was opportunities to do something a bit different and be involved in new things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And George Gainsborough was so enthusiastic. When he came to the IE, it was becoming a bit of a financial problem, and all that had been done before he arrived was to see what economies we could make. He took the completely opposite view that we should look at what we got and nurture it and increase our income.
Yeah.
Not reduce our expenditure.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
And shortly after he came, we were getting, because we'd installed a computer, we were able to do work for the Institution of Mechanical Engineers information on the computer, and organise their subscription, invoicing, and collection, etc. And but in order to do that and not upset the charity commissioners, we had to form a company. And it was all done through the company, whose profits were then covenanted to the IE as an educational charity. And that was, the company was called Peter Peregrinus.
Oh, that rings a bell. Right, I remember you talking about
that.
And you were very involved in that side of things, and
Yes, I was that company secretary.
Yeah.
And number of the chaps who've been on the finance committee, and indeed chairman, actually became chairman of PPL.
Yeah.
Peter Peregrinus.
Yeah. So they were big changes. Were you involved then with the kind of computer, becoming computerised?
Yes. Mm. I was the really liaison person between, because I'd already installed a punch card system several years before, and I became the liaison between ICL, International Computers Limited, and who were installing the computer, and the accounting and clerical side of the IE that was being put on the computer.
So any idea what year that would have been with the computer?
That would probably be the paper.
It must have been in the 60s, mustn't it? Was it? See it on there. That's what I'm... Doesn't matter, Dad. I just was interested. The thing I remember is you taking us up to see the computer.
Yeah.
It being this huge, absolutely huge, and like in the basement or something. It was like this whole room full of computer. Don't worry about that date, Dad. It's not important.
No. I could look into it and find out when
no,
it was.
No, it doesn't matter. I was interested just what sort of year it was, really.
Yeah. I remember George Gainsborough telling the Finance Committee not long after his arrival, that he had considered carefully how to deal with the difficult financial situation that he'd inherited. And in his opinion, we should concentrate on increasing income.
Yeah.
And the areas he identified where this could be achieved, and working closely with senior members, set about expanding sources of income. We had a sound publishing activity, and our abstracts publications were ripe for development.
Mm-hmm.
Working with the enthusiastic members and members of staff, our member publications and abstracts were marketed to companies at realistic prices.
Mm-hmm.
New journals were launched, notably Electronics Letters.
Yeah.
And plans were laid for the computerisation of science abstracts. Mm.
So there's some notes you've made there then, are they? You've got,
Advertising income was greatly increased across the board.
Yeah.
But particularly with the launch of IE News, which was in newspaper format.
Yeah.
Which carried a situations vacant advertising. Our sales staff convinced potential advertisers they were targeting the relevant population, which enabled us to command premium rates.
Mm.
That'll probably do for now.
Yeah, I should think so. Thanks, Dad. We're going to stop now and reconvene at a later date.